On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Safety Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, my guest today, as spring football is in its final week here at UVA, is a former UVA All-American, NFL veteran, one of the best frog giggers that I know, maybe the only frog gigger that I know. And of course, he is our title sponsor, podcast sponsor. It's Joe Reed. Joe, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to get going and catch up.
Yeah, man, it's good to see you back in the area. I know we've kind of connected over the years since you left UVA, but it started all the way back there at your time at UVA. Just what's it like, kind of, you know, as we get into this last week of, you know, spring football for UVA, the spring game coming up at Saturday at noon. What is spring ball like, and what do you hope to kind of gain from it as a player?
Yeah, you know, spring ball, from what I can remember and from my experience, was just that time to develop your skill set, develop being able to play alongside your teammate, kind of having an understanding of what your role is going to look like when you report for fall camp in August or even July, really. So, you know, using spring ball to kind of see where you are on the depth chart and really just building that camaraderie and playing with your teammates.
Can you feel the depth chart just kind of start to take place in spring that early?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would say by week two, you kind of have an idea of where you'll be based off of your performance, based off of the competition, and going into that spring game, you kind of have an idea.
I guess when you get to the game, because there's been a lot of talk in college football this year about, you know, do you keep playing spring games? You know, there's some talk about, you know, maybe having schools play each other in spring games now, although the NCAA kind of turned down Syracuse and Colorado trying to do that. Yeah. What do you think the value of a spring game is?
I think the value, you know, it gives the fans something to look forward to. It gives the fans an opportunity to see, you know, all the hard work that the players have been able to accomplish over the last few weeks. And as a player, I appreciated it because it gave me that game time atmosphere, being able to go to Scott Stadium in front of family and in front of fans and really piecing together everything that we did throughout the winter and the spring.
It's kind of a nice intro especially if you're a new player, and you know, today's college football, there's a lot of new players with the transfer portal and all that kind of swirling around. I guess kind of gets those, you know, first game jitters out of the way, you know, kind of that first entrance into Scott Stadium. What do you think? Like, you've been in the NFL, you've obviously gone through a fall, you know, fall camp there within the NFL. Would you enjoy playing another team during that kind of spring practice time?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You know, practicing against your own team for 4 or 5 weeks at a time can get a little boring. So having the opportunity to play against another team that you wouldn't normally play in a regular season, I think would be very, very beneficial. Whether it's a 2-day event, kind of like an NFL joint practice, or they just come the day of and play. I don't see where it'd be a bad thing to at least try and see where it goes.
Yeah, I think it has a lot of benefits, and I'm kind of surprised that, you know, they don't just give the go-ahead to it. I guess maybe the NCAA was saying that it was just a little too, you know, happened too quickly, and like they need like everyone to have the opportunities. But I'm like, hey, if these guys are on top of things, like let them go for it. Just to see what it looks like. I want to go back and kind of go back to your first spring practice, and kind of, you know, you were coming off the 2016 season. What was kind of the feel in the building? Obviously coming off a rough season kind of early on in Bronco Mendenhall's tenure there.
Yeah, so there was obviously a sense of urgency to get things done, to fix all the mistakes that we had made the previous year, you know, and it was going into Ben Kurt's last season. I know it was a lot of competition. I mean, from top to bottom, young guys, old guys, everybody in between. You know, just this sense of competing. I feel like everybody's spot was up for grabs, and every single day was a new day to earn your keep. If you had a phenomenal day on Monday, it didn't matter on Wednesday. You know, it was back to that competitive mindset. And you know, I really do believe that's when we made that jump to the 2017 season, just because we were just so wired to compete and to win by any means necessary.
Yeah, I guess how does that take place? How does that manifest in a spring practice? You know, you're coming off a really down season in 2016, and you know, Bronco's just trying to get his footing in place, and then you know, you saw the jump season after season. How does that kind of manifest?
Yeah, so honestly, it really happens in the wintertime. You know, the winter is when you build that foundation of what the spring is going to look like. How are your lifts looking? What is your conditioning looking? So that first day of spring, you know, we were rolling. There really wasn't easing into practice. I mean, that first practice was almost the same as the 10th and 11th practice. So building that foundation in the wintertime to giving us an idea of what they were expecting from us. I know the meetings were very intense in the winter, going into the spring. So really piecing together the entire off season, so there weren't any missteps in the springtime.
I want to kind of relate what you're talking about back then to what we're seeing with UVA football now, because you know Tony Elliott's first 3 years, obviously they haven't been to a bowl game yet. You've had obviously, you know, the tragedy kind of marked the first season, and then kind of bouncing back from that the second season. Then last year, a lot of people expected them to maybe take that jump that maybe y'all took in 2017 to get into a bowl game, and they come up just short, finishing 5-7. And it seems like, you know, just kind of being around the program, there is a sense of urgency now. You know, how does that feel with, you know, every rep you're going through in spring practice when there is kind of that, all right, it's put up or shut up time now?
Yeah, I'll start with the players. You know, in this era of the portal, they can be easily replaced. They don't have 1, 2, 3 years to kind of prove themselves. They know if they don't have a good spring, the portal is going to open, and their replacement can be easily found. So I think that's the first, like that first level of urgency. You know, had this been me playing in this portal season, I feel like the urgency would have been amplified, because I know if I don't perform consistently every day I show up, you know, I can be easily replaced. So I think that's the first part of the sense of urgency. And as far as the coaches, you know, I don't think that's changed too much. I think it's always been a business of winning. You know, you get those 3 or 4 years to build your program, to build your roster, and then from there, you know, it's just expected to win. And you know, you talk about the tragedy, and to me, these last 3 or 4 years have been a blur. And I do believe that Coach Elliott and his staff, they've handled it just about as well as anyone could have handled the circumstances that was given to them.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, and he Coach Elliott's talked about it a bunch. You know, it was kind of a setback to kind of their long-term planning and everything. And obviously, when a program goes through that, it's I think it's there's a level of understanding that kind of goes along with that. You mentioned the transfer portal. That was not something that was like this when you were in college. When you go back and think, like, how many guys, you know, we look back at that 2019 team so fondly, but how many guys would have made it to that 2019 team had the transfer portal kind of been like this?
Yeah, that is a really good question. Definitely not everybody.
Yeah.
Definitely not everybody. You know, I think coming off of the 2018 year, where we had a pretty solid year, won the Belk Bowl. Yeah, I think a lot of players would have had the option to go elsewhere. They would have had intriguing destinations. So that's a really good question, and I don't think everybody would have come back to UVA, unfortunately. But you know, I think the group that we had, I think we would have had enough guys come back to make that magical season the same as what it was.
Because that's the thing that when I think back to the 2019 team that stood out to me so much is, you know, a lot of these guys had been playing together for so many years at that point, and there was such good
Yes.
chemistry. I mean, even, you know, and I want to talk about Bryce Perkins in a second, just kind of relating it to the current transfer quarterback situation, but you know, even he, like within 2 years, it seemed like he'd been there for 4 or 5 at that point. He just kind of ingratiated himself so quickly there. Can that happen still, you think, in this kind of current climate? Can you have that kind of togetherness on a team?
Yeah, honestly, it really just depends on how fast these guys can click, how friendly the competition is. I mean, use Perk as an example. I remember like it was yesterday. Bryce, Alamide, and myself, we competed. We were like fierce competitors in our winter workouts and our spring workouts. But when they were done, we were just the best of friends. And that's one thing that, helped Bryce just kind of implement himself to our culture is be like, oh man, this quarterback, he's out here beating us in sprints. He's out here beating us in agility. So it really just, upped our work ethic. And that just, it made us really, really close. So, it really just depends on how fast that friendly competition can occur when these new players come in. And, the players who have been here, they have to understand that in order for them to get better, they want better guys to come in and push them and take them, to that next level.
Yeah, you talk about Bryce and talking about how quickly he got into there. Virginia's brought in two transfer quarterbacks this year, and Chandler Morris from North Texas and Daniel Kalen from Nebraska. But with Chandler, he's been around the block a lot. He's 24 years old now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's been around. He started his career at Oklahoma, then he was at TCU for a few years, and then was at North Texas just for the 1 year. So he's been in college football for a long time now. Bryce had certainly kind of had his whole journey, starting off at Arizona State, then going to the JUCO route, and then ending up at UVA. So kind of similar situations for both of them coming here to Virginia and hoping to kind of have this be their big, break out and kind of stand out at a power four level. What do you remember about Bryce? Is there a moment that like kind of stood out to you when he arrived at UVA that allowed him to kind of, settle in so quickly?
Yeah, I mean, leadership, being the first one in the locker room and expecting us to be there with him, go over the script. I remember it was like the second or third day, he came to my locker and we were in the middle of the locker room playing catch. He wanted to make sure his tape was feeling good, that the ball he was using was feeling good. So, I mean, we're in the middle of the locker room at 5:15, 5:30 in the morning, getting 50 to 100 catches in. And from that moment, that's when I knew, that wow, he's going to be a good leader. He's here to play. And we literally did that every single day in the spring and the fall. So just that day is when I knew.
Yeah. And obviously, the 2018 season was a good start. And then obviously, building off that into the 2019 season. When you look back at kind of the spring practice bef going into the 2019 season, so 2019 spring, was there a moment? And I want something specific as much as you can remember. Like, was there a moment in that spring where you're like, all right, we can make a really big jump this year?
Yeah, I think, because honestly, I was fresh off of a surgery that year, so I was mostly
Yeah.
just watching. But seeing how fast practice was, I mean, seeing the defense fly around, seeing the offense make plays, in my opinion, there's nothing better in the spring than the offense having a really good day one day, and then defense coming back and having an even better day. And we were just so back and forth. It was never one-sided. And if you go back and look at that season, it was, pretty much the same thing. The defense complemented the offense complemented defense, and obviously we had one of the best special teams, in the nation. So,
What'd you know about that?
yeah. So, just seeing how fast practice was and how methodical everything was, just, it was awesome to see. And I remember we had a meeting going into that spring game of, we can be special. It was myself, it was Bryce Hall, Bryce Perkins, and Jordan Mack. And that's when we came up with that. I don't know if you remember those shirts that said Believe.
Yeah.
So we had that kind of written up because we were like, we can really do something. We just have to believe it. So
Did Ted Lasso copy you guys?
I'm not sure, maybe.
No, I'm just messing around. But let's take a quick break, and then I kind of want to relate some of the stuff that we're talking about here and kind of get your thoughts on, this current UVA team and kind of what's coming up this season. But we'll be right back here on the Who's On podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. I'm joined by Joe Reed, former UVA All-American wide receiver, kick returner. Joe, let's get into this year's team. I know you're loving being back in Charlottesville, kind of being back around, being able to go to a couple more things. But I want to get your thoughts on this year's team. Obviously, coming off the 5-7 season, and it was kind of this weird 1 week after that Virginia Tech loss in Blacksburg, where it was kind of like, all right, where is this program going? All the fans are chirping. They're like, we want this guy gone. We want this guy gone. And then things kind of started to turn because, you got this huge, massive donation for NIL. They start hitting guys in the transfer portal. And now all of a sudden we get to this spring and you've got like people from ESPN being like, Virginia could be a dark horse. Watch out for them, getting, 8-9 wins this season. It's just crazy. In this transfer portal world, how quickly things can change. But just what are your thoughts on kind of Tony Elliott's tenure this far and kind of what you're seeing coming up this season?
Yeah. I think UVA will always be an appealing school for players to come play. And Coach Elliott and his staff have done a really good job this year of getting some high level players to want to come to Charlottesville and play football. And from now, it's just a matter of everybody being able to play together. If they're five or six great guys, how well can they gel together and make things go? So I'm very, very excited to see the new guys. I'm even more excited to see returners like Trail and Xavier come off of injuries and perform well.
Have you ever gotten to go to practice and kind of interact with the guys?
Yeah, so I haven't gone to a practice this year. I did go to Pro Day and I saw a few of the players, so I was able to catch up with them. Talk to Antonio Clary a lot, so I keep up with him more so life related than football at this point. But yeah,
talk about Antonio Clary. He's the only guy left now from that Orange Bowl team. I don't know, obviously there's a lot of different years and red shirts and medical red shirts and everything that's kind of contributed to him still being here, but just kind of his career and got off to such a great start last year before another injury. Just his journey, what do you make of it going back to when he was just a young pup on that 2019 team?
Yeah, I remember when he got here. He was a mid-year actually, and it seems like such a long time ago, but Antonio, he's tough. Mentally especially, injuries aren't easy. And for him to be able to have an injury and bounce back the way that he does, I remember last year before he got injured, he was playing really fast, him and Sanker in the secondary like that. So I'm excited for him. I'm hoping that he'll be able to take his time and, get ready for fall camp. But he's tough. He's tough.
Yeah, that's always been the case with him, and kind of just even through the injuries over the years. What have your conversations when you get a chance been like with Tony Elliott over the last couple of years? I know he obviously you didn't intersect with him as a player, but just now as kind of an alum, and what is that alumni relationship like now with UVA?
Yeah, two things I take from Coach Elliott is winning on the field and winning in life. One thing that I really, really appreciate is that he looks out for the players for life after, and he tries to, or not even try, he does get them ready for life after ball on top of coaching them hard in between those white lines and expecting them to be great football players. And that's one thing that I think it'll catch on and it'll be a very consistent matter here at UVA. And he's also done a really good job of getting former players back in, sending us invitations for practice, for games, Just so we're in the mix and we're in the loop and we know everything that's going on. I've been to the new building probably 10 times now, and every time he sees me there, he's excited.
What's it like walking into that new building? Do you like, man,
Yeah,
just a couple years too early?
every time I walk in, I still can't believe it, but I'm happy they have it. It is much needed. They deserve it, and it's just going to help us out in the long run.
Do you think back, what do you think back about that, the old building? Obviously, it's still kind of there, across the way there.
Yeah, it was all that we knew. It was all that we knew. It got the job done. I think it really molded us into the players that we were. We were edgy, we were old school. So, it was all that we knew, and we knew that it was kind of outdated, but we still appreciated it and we made it our home.
I mean, obviously you got to UVA, so like when you w went there on a visit, like it didn't make that much of a negative impact. It was about other stuff other than just buildings and flashy stuff. But how big can a difference can it, just walking into a new building like that make?
Oh my goodness, all the difference in the world. For me, I wanted to go to UVA. I didn't care if,
Yeah.
we were in the lacrosse trailers down the block. I wouldn't have cared, but there are players where stuff like that truly does matter. And, walking in that building, walking in, seeing that beautiful weight room on the right, and then seeing that big TV right in front of you, it's hard to pass it up. Hard.
We only kind of go to some parts of the building. I've done the walkthrough and everything. It's quite impressive. But
Yes.
looking at I guess just the NIL world right now, obviously that's another thing that you didn't really have access to as a player. What is there one NIL deal you wish you could have gotten as a player?
Ooh, yeah, it would probably have been something outdoors related, maybe like Cabela's or Dick's Sporting Goods, something like that, where I could have just gotten free gear to go hunt and be outside and fish.
I will say the one thing that's kind of interesting is over the years, one of the big hobbies that comes up with almost every team is fishing. What is it about fishing that kind of, I guess, appeals to football players, I guess?
I think being able to A, just get outside with your teammates, and two, just talk trash about who can catch the biggest fish, even if a person can't really fish, they don't know how to fish.
Yeah.
Again, it just brings out that friendly competition, just another version of competition within the locker room.
Yeah, because I went out and fishing with Anthony Johnson. I don't know if you've ever met him, but
Yes.
he's a big fisher. He loves fishing. He wanted, I think he said his long-term plans, he wanted to go back home to Florida and open up like a tackle shop. It's
That
like,
would be cool.
yeah, right? I mean, it's not bad. I made a joke of it earlier. Have you gone frog gigging in the like the last how many ever years?
No, it's been a while. After I moved away to California and then I went to Chicago, it was tough.
There's no frogging in Chicago.
No, there might be, but I didn't. Yeah, I wasn't exposed to any, so it's been tough.
Yeah.
Being gone for OTAs in the spring and then this summer. I haven't been in a while, but I need to go.
Yeah. Well, I want to get into kind of your career move now. Obviously, we mentioned Joe Reed, now Kova Mortgage off the top, but you had a couple of years in the NFL. You spent some time with the Los Angeles Chargers, and then obviously the Bears, like you just mentioned there. What made you kind of want to jump into life as a loan officer with Alcova Mortgage now?
Yeah, so I've always been a person. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to be an educator. I wanted to, help those in need, the next generation. And actually, the company that I work for, I actually met one of the branch partners at, I think it was a basketball game. And, he floated the idea of me joining Alcova as a loan officer. So I went back and I did some research and I started studying and it clicked. I saw NIL making its way to pretty much the platform that it is now. And I knew I'd have the opportunity to come back and teach athletes about home ownership, about their finances, about building their credit. So it all made sense to me to get licensed, become a loan officer. And the last couple of months, I've been going to the football building, talking to the players about the process of buying a home. So just being able to be that educator, be involved in the community, give back, and do cool stuff like this.
You talk about talking to these players now. When you were a player and we talked about NIL not really being a thing then, would you have ever even thought about kind of some stuff like this?
No, honestly, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
Because I mean, even as me in college, like I wasn't thinking about home ownership for like another decade, and then it kind of just pops up on you even quicker than you think.
Exactly. And that's why I love going back to talking about it, because hey, I don't think, and even if I did think about it, I don't know if I would have done the due diligence to research it, see how it actually works, see what it really costs. So I don't think I would have naturally.
What's the reaction that you get from some of the guys when they're talking about this? Is there like a real interest there?
Yeah, there really is. And similar to what I just said, a few of them have expressed that they wanted to get in real estate. They just didn't know where to start, or they didn't know the different laws and tax regulations. So there's been a lot of interest. And ironically, after spring ball, I'll start doing one-on-ones with those students who are, really interested in either working in the real estate and mortgage field, or at some point buying a home and investment properties.
How special is it for you? Because I mean, obviously, you've put so much time in your life into football and training for that. And I've been out there in some of those summers when you come back to Charlottesville and you're working out there on the field, dripping sweat. What's it like now to kind of give back in this way?
Yeah, it's incredible. I think it's what it's all about. I remember when I was playing, and if Kanan came back, or somebody who had played, and somebody who had played before me, whenever they came back and wanted to pour time into us, it was like one of the best days ever, knowing that they were spending time with us when they didn't have to. So I remember how that felt, and now being able to hopefully give the current players that same feeling has just been phenomenal to do.
Well, you kind of sit here now and you're embarking on this new journey. How do you look back at your years playing football at the college and NFL levels? How does that kind of sit and resonate with you now?
Yeah, life changing. I tell people all the time, I truly believe I gave football everything I had, both, physically, mentally, and I'm happy with the way things started and ended for me. Football has, or it was great to me. UVA was great to me, changed my life. So to be back and still be involved in some capacity has just been great. Now I'm fulfilled.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
that's good. That's what you want at the end of the day when you
Yeah.
kind of hang up the cleats. You want to feel like, all right, I'm good. I don't need to like regret anything. Like, I'm good.
No, and I haven't had that feeling one time. It's
Yeah.
kind of like I trust my intuition, and when it was like, okay, it's probably time. So I just had a major knee surgery a few months ago. So preparing for that, that's when I was like, it's time. Let's just go ahead and do it. And I feel like that was the best decision.
And to now be back in Charlottesville. What is that like? I mean,
Yeah.
it's a great place, a great city to live in.
It really is. It's really my new home. And I remember when I was a kid, I came up here for a family vacation. And that's about the time where I became hooked with the area. I said, I'm going to UVA. And that's what I did. And it's been hard for me to leave now.
Before we go, I want to ask, what's a play that kind of still sits with you from your days at UVA? What's one that you kind of holds a special meaning in your heart?
Yeah, scoring against Florida State in the corner, going towards the hill. I think it was a tie ball game. It was getting late in the
Yeah.
game, and ran a little wheel out of the hip formation. It's a numb feeling. I think about it all the time. I'm like, why wasn't I more excited? But I think, I was so happy and such in shock about that big moment that it was numb. But that moment was probably my favorite moment at UVA.
That was such a big game. Is that kind of the game that sticks out to you, or is it the Tech game, or
I think, it's 1A and 1B,
yeah.
but definitely that game, because I mean, after that game, we just started rolling. We had that hiccup in the middle of the season, but so I think early on we had beat ODU and William & Mary. We beat Florida State at home under the lights, and we just felt like we were unbeatable at that point. So that was That was a turning moment of that 2019 season. So.
Yeah, I mean, under the lights against Florida State, which, had been a rival way back then, and it's like
Yes.
they don't play each other enough anymore. But guess what? This season, Florida State under the lights on a Friday night, like that's one game I've definitely got circled on my calendar right now.
Yeah, I'll be there too.
Yeah. Joe, I want to appreciate you for coming on here, and also for your sponsorship, of course, and we hope to ha get you back on here a little bit later down the road.
Yeah, sweet. Thanks for having me. Go Hoos.
All right, big thanks to Joe Reed for jumping on the podcast to talk a little bit about UVA spring football and the current players, but also going back to his playing days and talking a little bit about spring practices of yore. But couldn't get out of here without talking about a little bit of UVA basketball. Ryan Odom finally has struck in the transfer portal, bringing in his first three transfers going back to this weekend. We kind of prefaced it last weekend, going into the weekend on Friday with Zach Carey from Streaking the Lawn. We talked about kind of what they're doing behind the scenes with this transfer portal class and how things, a little bit slow to start, but they're kind of picking up now. Three straight days with a transfer, going back to Saturday first with Sam Lewis, the Toledo guard transfer. Averaging over 16 points a game. Then you get North Dakota State transfer Jakari White on Sunday, averaging over 17 points a game. And then you get to Monday with Duke Miles, the guard from Oklahoma, previously at High Point. Before that, he was at Troy. So a veteran of the college basketball game, only averaged 9 points for Oklahoma. But you kind of look at the numbers and, averages a little over a steal per game for his career, a steal and a half per game for his career. Rebounds the ball well, and he's kind of looks and he has experience at that point guard position. It looks like he comes in to be one of those lead ball handlers for Ryan Odom in this offense. And he averaged over 17 points a game the year prior at High Point. So this is a guy that, he's made some buckets at Oklahoma. Kind of interesting situation there because you had the kind of superstar freshman come in with Jeremiah Fears and what he was able to do, and he's likely going to be, an NBA first round, maybe lottery pick coming up in this next NBA draft. And so Miles has kind of stuck playing a little bit off the ball and, not as many opportunities on the ball. And that's what you expect him to get at Virginia, but also has shown the ability to play off the ball. So now, with a guy like Jakari White, who has the ability to do some secondary playmaking, and Sam Lewis the same, you're going to get to see that. Chance Mallory, obviously the point guard recruit that Ryan Odom got in first. So you get a four-star point guard and you get him some reps, but also being able to play behind a 6-year veteran in the sport is a pretty good deal, just to kind of get Chance Mallory acclimated to the college game. So, really excited about kind of this grouping of transfers because you look at it and it's kind of built into this Ryan Odom archetype of guards. All three of these guys shoot right around the 40% mark from three last season, and on a high volume. Duke Miles in Oklahoma last year, 43% from three on about 2.7 3-point attempts per game. Sam Lewis at Toledo was 44.4% from three on four attempts a game. And then Jakari White, just a tick under 40% at 39.8%, but on a really high volume at over seven attempts per game. So really efficient shooters, really effective shooters, and that's the name of the game for VCU with Ryan Odom there, and at Utah State before that, and UMBC before that. Like they like to get up a lot of threes, but in the past you've seen some of his teams haven't been really efficient and effective at a high 0.3-point volume. So now you're getting three guys that come in and shooting at a really high clip. Which should make that strategy a little bit more effective if you're looking at Ryan Odom and his staff right now. And then the other side of this is on the defensive side of the ball. You look at kind of Ryan Odom and his VCU team last year. They were fifth in the country in defensive efficiency, really strong defensive team. And obviously, Ryan Odom has said he wants to play faster, but he doesn't want to sacrifice the defense. So he'll play fast to a certain extent without sacrificing the defense. And if you look at the defense and these guys, kind of how they fit into that, you look at stocks, that's steals and blocks combined. obviously these are guards, so more to the steal rate. They were thir VCU was 34th in the country in steals per possession last country, so 12% on the steals per possession last season, really high percentage. And you kind of look at some of the teams around them, also at 12%. The Houston Cougars played in the national championship on Monday night, so some really good company there. And then blocks per game. Or block percentage, they were third in the country, just behind UConn and Auburn. So really effective team at bothering other offenses, getting steals, getting turnovers, blocking shots at the rim, protecting the rim. So really good statistics that you like to see. And just I think that's kind of what we're seeing with this Ryan Odoms, kind of their transfer targets right now. They're going after guys that could be athletic, pesky defenders, they could press. Do a couple different things, and just be a really sound defensive team 1 through 5. And that's the other part of this now is you got three guards, you got up to 6 players total. There's a 15 limit on the scholarship limit because it's going up with the house settlement and everything. So you've got some room to go there. I don't know if they'll use the full 15, probably not. We'll see how many teams actually do. But getting around that 12 to 13 player mark is probably what you want to see. And so be UVA only at 6 right now with the 3 transfers and Miles, Lewis, and White. And then you're going to bring in Chance Mallory, Silas Barksdale, and also you've got Elijah Gertrude still currently on the roster and expected to come back. So that's 6 guys, and Carter Lang, who's a walk-on last year as well. So you're looking to still add some more in front court. You probably want another 3 to 4 players in that front court right now because there's almost nothing there right now besides Barksdale and Lang. So that's kind of what you're turning your attention to next. And so obviously one of the big names there is one of Ryan Odoms' former players and VCU guy Luke Bamboye, who we've talked about on the podcast a couple times. He visited grounds not too long ago. So he's one name to watch there. The other one being aptly named big man Justin Bodo, big bagel guy, big man from High Point, was a 2-time Big South Defensive Player of the Year down there. So those are two of the names you're looking at in the big man department. They've reached out to a ton of other ones. They've also lost out on a couple in Nick Davidson, the Nevada big man that went to Clemson, and then Reed Bailey, who recently the Davidson big man went to Indiana. So they're still looking there, and you expect them to make some movement there probably next. But I wouldn't rule out them adding another guard. You can't have enough guards, especially when you're playing three of them, most likely. In a lineup with Lewis and White and Miles looking like that, and you got Gertrude and Mallory as well, but can't rule out adding another guard or two because you got to have depth in college basketball. You don't know when injuries are going to strike and all that. And Ryan Odom likes to run 10-man deep rotations, so they like to play a lot of guys. They like to have guys come off the bench and give you some minutes. So we'll see how they kind of fill out the rest of this roster. Big man certainly is next, but a really solid start for Ryan Odom here in the transfer portal, picking up Duke Miles, Sam Lewis, and Jakari White, all pretty well thought of transfers. And we'll see how this kind of continues to roll out for Ryan Odom as he gets this going. The other big news, basketball wise, and kind of on a sad note for a lot of UVA fans, was Kyle Guy announcing that he will not be returning to Virginia next year on the coaching staff. Obviously, I know a lot of UVA fans were holding out hope that he would fill that last assistant coach spot, but he made it clear in a post on social media earlier today. He said in a statement, "Although I would have loved to stay in Charlottesville forever, it's time to move on to a new coaching opportunity," implying that he is going to stay in coaching. And he was down to the Final Four in San Antonio. Obviously, he made an appearance on the Field of 68 podcast. And, if anything, about the Final Four, it is a big networking weekend for coaches and coaching staff. So we'll keep our eyes peeled to see what Kyle Guy's next move is in the coaching realm. But it was good to have him in Charlottesville for a year. We had him here on the podcast, and he kind of talked about how, he kind of took a big chance, big risk, and kind of hanging it up and going into coaching this year. But he loved it, and he wanted to continue with it. That's what he said at the time, and didn't know if that was going to be at UVA or elsewhere. And now it looks likely that it's going to be elsewhere. But now the kind of attention, how is Ryan Odom going to fill out the rest of this coaching staff? That's kind of been the thing that we've been waiting to see. When they announce the rest and full part of this coaching staff. But obviously Kyle Guy, no love lost in Charlottesville from winning a national championship and all the memories that he had as a player. But also he was a big part of this coaching staff this year. He really helped that transition from Tony Bennett to the interim period with Ron Sanchez, and now kind of gifting the door to Ryan Odom, and just being a consistent voice for the players on the team last year. No player on the team could say anything bad about Kyle Guy. They all enjoyed competing with him in practice, trash talking with him in practice. And Kyle was saying guys are constantly blowing up his phone to work out. And maybe with a lot of those guys moving on now, maybe one of the benefits you see is Elijah Gertrude, a guy that's not moving on as of now. He spent a lot of time in the gym once he got recovered from his knee injury, with Kyle Guy in the gym. So we'll see if there were some benefits there, just with that work with Kyle Guy, but certainly leaves a legacy here at UVA, and we'll see where he ends up, and we'll see how Ryan Odom finishes out this coaching staff, because it's really interesting so far. Obviously brought three of his assistants with him from VCU, and then reunited with Griff Aldridge, the former Longwood coach and his former director of basketball operations back at UMBC. So, and a UVA Law alum. So we will see kind of how the rest of this basketball coaching staff ends up. It's you thought maybe we'd have those answers by now. Maybe as this week kind of progresses, we'll have those final answers, and kind of waiting to see what happens at the general manager position, as Wally Walker's been manning that in the transfer portal so far. And we'll see kind of how this staff finalizes, and who the answer is at the end of the day. But and Ryan Odom, still a lot of work to do this offseason, because almost starting from scratch coming in the door at John Paul Jones Arena. But that's going to do it for us here on the Who's On podcast. Thank you again to Joe Reed for coming on. We hope to have him on again soon. Talk about some spring football. We'll talk about some more spring football news coming up later in the week. Until then, we'll see ya.
Field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.